Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
There you go. All right, good. All right, let's just get into it because I need to be unscared, and you're probably going to scare the shit out of me more.
Yep.
Yeah. Go. Well, let it... No, stop recording. Let it stream for a little bit. Let the guys get on. Yeah, this is... this is what I did. I went and... I'm getting some clicking feedback somewhere. Are you hearing something? I'm turning down all the... All right. Well, don't be banging on stuff. Okay. The big thing that I did, I wanted to go back and look at the Event 201 highlights and kind of read some of the stuff and look at. And I made some notes, and we'll go over this stuff. But I didn't hear about it until probably March, April, is the first stories on the 201 thing that was on Freedom's Phoenix. And... I'm sure there's a connection or whatever, but this is a movie script, play by play. We got everything in line and we've been working on for a while kind of thing. And when did you know about it?
I had heard about it in February, but I don't think I specifically really dived into it till March.
You dove into it. You went and took a good look at what's what.
Yeah, I watched through it. It's been several weeks since I've watched through it all the way, but yeah.
Okay, what I'm going to do, some of the guys are probably on there. We're going to start recording here in a couple seconds, guys. Okay, now, what I want to do is... I want to be able to pull up some... web pages and share during the show. All right. If you're up to speed on this thing, I got a lot of questions on it, and we can talk, and that'd be a good platform to go into this stuff, if you don't mind.
You can ask whatever. I don't have the details in front of me, but...
Well, I mean...
If I know the answer, I'll let you know.
Well, it's a philosophical general what we can expect thing, because right. Damn.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to start recording now. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. We're on the Love Bus here in Lancaster, New Hampshire. We just finished with Porcupine Freedom Festival, and we're into the Fork Fest, where we're having 4th of July here, and we're just now, waiting tomorrow... Probably won't be raining, so we get to put the logos and decals and everything on the bus, and we'll have great pictures 4th of July, where a lot of people in the Liberty community here are going to be closer than 6 feet. As we were doing Porcupine Freedom Festival, part of the Free State Project here in America, New Hampshire, Lancaster, New Hampshire here, people were very, give me some COVID. Give me a hug. I think I saw a couple of masks for a little bit, and then they kind of gave that up. Up in this entire area, I'm not seeing, maybe employees, if you work for a large corporation, if you got directive by someone, and that's where this has been coming from. It's not coming from the people. I mean, you got your Karens out there, and somebody wants to explain it to you, and you're not standing in your circle. But I'm not getting the impression that there is a clamoring and a mandate by the people with fear. That just, it's not coming from there. So I took the time today. We had a long show. We were talking about a lot of things, and I knew we were going to be talking to James Corbett today, CorbettReport.com. And I took the time on Freedom's Phoenix, I'm publisher of Freedom's Phoenix, which is a news portal. And I did searches on our own site, and found, yeah, we have been covering the Event 201, but it didn't start till March, April. We started putting a lot of this stuff. It was starting to line up with a lot of things that were happening. as I went through a highlight reel on that, and of course it's, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates everything, and of course I think of the information that James Corbett got out, but I started going through some of the, you know, this kind of pretend planning that they had. It was the war room round table of whatever, and it was everything that we're seeing now. So my question to you, James, is that when I look at this stuff and I see their demeanor and the people involved and what they were looking for, I'm going, obviously it was a plan. Obviously it was obvious. And I'm wondering what they were thinking, that by doing this and detailing it and it happening, and we got Fauci coming out and saying, I guarantee there's going to be a pandemic event or something like that, and it happens, I'm looking at, did they think we weren't going to notice or know that they said they don't care? Is it big wheels a-turning, and are they think the American people aren't going to matter? We're not in the equation. We don't care. It's we just do what we're told. I'm wondering what you think their mindset is as they detailed their plan and then started enacting it. Enlighten me on that.
Well, let's look at the possibilities and let's detail them. I can think of two right off the top of my head. One is that the crazy specificity of what they were wargaming out there, and its eerie correlation with what started playing out just a month later, is either a sign that this was not, in fact, a, whatever you want to call it, a actual planning event for what they were going to do, but an actual coincidence, or it indicates that they do want those with eyes to see and ears to hear to know this information for some reason. They want us to know that this was planned out in advance. Why? That would be the only question. Why do they? I mean, because obviously this was going to come out. Obviously it would come out in the alternative media. So why would they want that? And perhaps it is answered inside of the simulation itself. Did you watch the full thing or just the highlight reel?
I've seen a bunch of stuff over the months, but this, what I did today was a highlight reel.
Yeah. So if you get into, I can't remember if it's the fourth or fifth hour of the simulation where they go into
Whoa, time out. How many hours was this thing?
I think it was six, if I remember correctly.
And you watched the whole thing, of course, because you're James Corbett.
Yeah, it's just an hour per video. Yeah, you can work your way through it. And I suggest, you know, people who are interested should probably do so.
It was scary.
A couple of things that are interesting about it, one of which is the fake news reports, like literal fake news reports that they mocked up for this scenario, where, I mean, not only just the idea of having these actors sitting there and presenting it.
No,
like
they did like a 60 Minutes retrospective of a year from now of when it happened and 65 million of how and this is what. It's a script. It's like a movie script.
It really, exactly right. And actually, some of the simulation TV events they were doing were interesting. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember one of the segments they did was like a mock interview or a mock debate about something about like closing down businesses or something. And they were essentially, I mean, this almost could have been the type of debate you would have seen on the real CNN just a few months later, although it was clearly scripted. These are clearly actors reading lines, but those are the kinds of things that they knew would be in the event of this pandemic, the type of things people would be talking about. So again, it's really quite in your face. And obviously anyone who wants to just dismiss event 201, it was just a coincidence. I don't know. I just,
Kate, who is trying, who would, you know, after you see, when I saw it, I was like, yeah, you know, they, them, those are planning and here it comes and they're doing and prepping somebody. It's almost like it's a way to not secretly or get, you know, conspiratorial. We're just openly handing the script to different departments and different people. And this is your role. And you got a guy in a uniform representing the CDC of, I've got combat training. I mean, you know, it's just, I can, and then the prominence of Asia and China in this whole thing. And this is before China. I'm just, this is, I've seen this before with a lot of they, them, those, secret handshake, build a whatever people, Rothschild, Rockefeller, and whatever the hell they're going to do to you. They like, or somehow they need, or they get justified in screwing you if they tell you they're going to do it and exactly how they're going to do it. Yeah, so and so this was detailed. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. This is how we're going to report it. This is what you're going to do. And I got some phrases in here that just, this is what, you know, what scared me. You know, they got businesses and government working together. You know, this is, you know, it's like fascism, you know, 101. We're going to do this. We're going to have to do that. You know, we're going to need to determine who needs the help the most. Not just countries or different places, but individuals. You know, this is kind of this death panel thing. We got limited resources, unequal access to resources needs to be taken care of. So they're going to direct where things go. You know, we need to know where all the supplies are. And I remember a few summers ago, it was in Washington State, and some neighbors and friends had put in a grain silo, and they signed it off. Yeah, it's not going to fall down. We're all good. And there was a guy over there, one of those GPS things. I'm sure I told you this before. He's got a GPS thing. They're GPS tracking where all the food is. You know, who are you? Oh, I'm a, you know, I'm a, you know, like a census taken of grain. You know, I'm like, wow, I feel better now, you know. So this is some of the stuff. I mean, I got a bunch more here, but it seems like they're, and they were talking about the economy. They were talking about, you know, how, but it's not the economy. This would not happen naturally. This had to be done by force. This had to be enacted by a somebody saying whatever. And when they did the H1N1, when this happened before 10 years ago, that's when we started, you know, like stockpiling. Yeah, they're going to, you know, do this. This is how they're going to do it. When they started doing it, we found out later that the governors had billions of dollars. There's a bribe. You go, why in the hell did this governor? They're bribing them. They're threatening them. There's something. Has there been any scratching of that surface? Have you, you're digging into that at all?
I can't think of any specific things off the top of my head, but I think everyone would be best situated to find in their own locale, their own, their own governor or their own county officials or whatever. I mean, because there'd be a million examples of this.
Examples.
But I just want to underline, I want to underline what you just said just a few minutes ago, because it is important. There's another possibility, if we're laying out the possibilities, one of which is that, and these possibilities aren't mutually exclusive, by the way. One possibility is that, yes, they need this type of planning event to get everyone on board to know what the script is that they're going to follow in the event of this event that we're about to launch. Because, of course, not everyone is a conspirator who's involved in the intimate planning of this, you know, coronavirus thing. That no, but they, you can bring them into the conspiracy in a completely open way by having a simulation.
They get their 3x5 card and know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I didn't do the full, like, a podcast episode just delving into Event 201 at the time, because I felt other people were doing that. But I really, I guess I should, specifically in the context of, I have said a few times, this is the WTC-7 of the coronavirus 9/11. And it's the smoking gun. There's definitely a lot to dig into. So yeah.
Well, here's one thing they were talking.
Also, one other thing I wanted to point out that you pointed out. China, interestingly involved in this event 201, despite the fact that the fake COVID caps, they call it in the simulation, did not originate in China. It originated in Brazil or Mexico or South America
somewhere else.
somewhere else. But the head of the Chinese CDC, George Gao, was specifically involved and sitting there at the table in that list of participants.
You know, one of the things, everything is, it really, you know, at the time when we found out about it, March, April or something, it may have been, you know, one of our conversations. I remember you talking about it, and we had stories on it, and I kind of, you know, mentioned it, yeah, well, of course, you know. But I did not see this highlight reel, and it was way too specific. I mean, you know, of course, now as time has gone on and they actually enacted it, you know, I'm more sensitive to it, but it, I probably wouldn't have been as sensitive then. But it's industries and trade associations have to come together in cooperation to blah, 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 blah. Private industry cooperation for logistics. They couldn't do this. They need, I remember my, so my children work at Honeywell Aerospace. President Trump came, landed the plane there at Sky Harbor, walked over, and thank you, America, for making masks. You turned from making whatever the hell you were making before, making masks, and you kind of two thumbs up, family, good fun. So I'm going, this is, it's sticking carrot all over the place to get, and it's just like with social media, sticking carrot. Do you say the right things? Do you say the wrong things? This has been a massive psyop that is done on every level of society with all associations, with all infiltration of all their guys and their liberal arts degree of somebody's got a degree in an accountant and an attorney. I mean, you can see it. They need these city attorneys. They need these county attorneys. They need these people in the name of we don't like Orange Man or whatever the hell it is that they're doing. And I'm going, wow. So what was some of the others here? Oh, this is the one I wanted you to comment on. We need a Marshall-type plan to, freaking everything. I mean, they were talking marshalling. The Marshall Plan. Explain the Marshall Plan to the audience, and what do they mean by a Marshall-type plan?
You know, that's an excellent question, because I did not interpret it that way. You will note that I did play that clip in Medical Martial Law 2020. I interpreted it as him saying that they needed to put it put their response on a martial law footing. But you're right. He did, I think, specifically use the term martial plan, which...
No, he said it. He said a martial-type plan.
Yeah.
This is like we need a Pearl Harbor event. Okay?
Right.
I mean, this is a martial-type plan. Now, the martial plan was the rebuilding of Europe after World War II, if we spent all the money on whatever the heck. So this is an international thing, but it's not, you know, from... everybody to us or something like that. It's going to be the U.S. to everybody. You know, we just print the money or something. I mean, Marshall-type plan from where to where?
That was the template. That's the Marshall Plan. But I think this was some sort of global version of that. But where's the money coming from and who's it going to go to? We'll work out those details later. But, it's an exceptionally important part of history. And, in fact, probably bears its own podcast or episode or something.
There's not a Marshall Plan Corbett thing. What the heck, man?
There isn't, surprisingly enough. No, there is nothing on the Marshall Plan specifically. But I will note that, isn't it the Marshall Fund or something like that? It is one of the sort of remnants of that legacy that to this day cooperates with or funds the Atlantic Council or works with them in the whole NATO propaganda sphere. So
yeah, of course.
That Marshall name still continues to resonate. But yeah, you're right. He does say Marshall type plan. And at the time I had interpreted that as him trying to say martial law. But no, it was Marshall Plan.
Yeah, and no, I even read, what the hell does that mean? And I go, what did he say, a Marshall? Because I'm like doing stuff
but
listening.
Doesn't he say war footing or something like that?
He may have. Well, what's the difference? I mean, you know, you got a Marshall type plan. You know, I mean, I even wrote it down in quotes, a Marshall type plan. That means government and industry and people be damned and resources going somewhere else from me. Now they can just print it up and all of a sudden my grandkids are indebted. Yeah. But I'm just like a Marshall type plan. Then they start right after that. They go, we have to control and have trusted sources of information. Man, that probably wouldn't have made as much of a scared of crap out of me 4 months ago. But, you know, now we need trusted sources of information. What the hell does that mean?
So you're going to be interested when you go through and watch all five segments. There are five segments. It runs a full length of 3 hours, and it's worth it, so do it. You can watch it on double speed if you really need to get through it. But segment four is on communications discussion and epilogue video, and that's where they have their roundtable about how to handle the communications regarding the pandemic, and they talk specifically about all this disinformation and misinformation that's being spread online by bad actors, whether state or non-state, and how are we going to confront this? What are we going to do about it? And they're all talking about, well, how they have to get the message out through trusted, they have to use trusted organizations or people who have trust with the public in order to get the official message out. And bizarrely, laughably, at one point, I can't remember which participant is saying it, but they say, oh, you know, our organization has done polling and found that most people will trust their employer or boss in a situation like this. So we have to get this, the top CEOs of the country helping to spread this message, which
you have to get them on board, and you got to shut down every single freaking ma and pa we got business to compete with, nothing. Everybody's got Walmart and Amazon.
Right, so this is the dark shadow of what they're saying. So they're
saying, their logistics thing. I can see
it. Message out, the official WHO, this is what you got to do message, and we're going to use the corporations to do that. But of course, the dark shadow of that is, well, we have to deal with this disinformation. And they do not come out and say, in fact, at some point, I think they say censoring or trying to suppress the information is going to be worse because it's going to make it worse or whatever, something along those lines. Clearly, I think they talk about flooding the zone with good information, i.e. they have to get their good official WHO propaganda out through every outlet and make sure everyone's flooded with it. But as Derek Rose of ConsciousResistance.com has noted several times, and I agree with him, I think that isn't just about flooding the zone with their good information. I think they are going to probably have been intentionally trying to seed disinformation and misinformation out there that they can later come on and debunk and say, look, see, this was the bad news that these alternative media outlets were passing around, and because of that, that's why your grandma died, and that's why we need to take them off the internet.
Well, this has been, you know, that JFK and 9/11, and I've seen this forever. They have you going down rabbit holes or whatever, and you point that out a lot, you know, in your stuff. So, you know, and thank you for that. You know, I'm sensitive to it. But it's, you know, I don't really mind the disinformation. You know, put it out there, whatever. It highlights the credibility of the people that said it, you know? So it's just, you know, I put it out, you know, everybody's kind of, because a lot of people got confirmation bias anyway, but I'm more concerned about the censorship of good information. That is, you know, they'll want to seed it so that they can, oh, we got to get this off. This guy's not any good. He's fake news and whatever. But what they're really doing is they just want the control of the good information not to be up, because they're not censoring you because you lied. They're censoring because you told the truth.
No, right. And this goes exactly back to what we were talking about last time about the fact checkers, because that is exactly what this is about. It's about smearing all of this misinfo and muddy info together and just saying anyone in this space is therefore fact checked. They shouldn't be verified. You shouldn't be able to see them if you're browsing the internet. And in fact, you say, like, who would dismiss Event 201? Well, factcheck.org. New coronavirus wasn't predicted in simulation. And they have this entire fact check, which boils down to the fact that there were, you know, headlines about Event 201 when this came out in the independent media, of course, saying, like, wow, they held the simulation, and in the simulation, 65 million people die of this new coronavirus, and then now there's this new coronavirus. And the fact check is saying, well, first of all, they weren't predicting NCOV 2019. They were just predicting some other coronavirus or something, like, oh, okay, well, debunked. But they were also saying, and so far, 65 million people haven't died. Therefore, this is debunked. Like, wait, what did you debunk there?
Okay, wait. So they're actually making the attempt to, like, debunk that Event 201 was what? Didn't happen, or it doesn't have anything to do with it? Or
no, you see, that's the thing. What they are actually, when you drill down on it, what they are debunking is some sort of claim that 65 million people will die of the specific CAPS coronavirus they were predicting in this Event 201. No one is claiming that. No one with their heads
okay.
screwed on is saying
who's
that.
Fund, who but are the these debunkers point, and who funds them?
The whole point of the debunk is just so that when you type Event 201 into Google, because debunk, of course that's where the normies will go, the first thing that will come up is the factcheck.org link to say debunked. And most people won't even click on that link. They'll just say, look, it's debunked.
And so that's one thing you pointed out,
the fact checkers.
A lot of these debunking sites, and of course you pick a bunch of them, you know, and they're all funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know,
one way or another.
Yeah, one way or another. And I mean, and you got to be careful when you say all, but I mean, every one I've looked, I mean, it's all in one way or another. I mean, they fund another group that funds that funds that funds. I mean, after three or four, how far do I got to go? How many more I got to do? I get it. Okay.
Well, to be fair, factcheck.org, I think, is the Annenberg Foundation. And you can look into their ties and blah, blah, blah. But it's the whole milieu of the foundation complex.
I'm convinced. You know, the one thing that they did also address, they were going global community, global answer, global mistrust of government. They kept saying these kinds of things. And I'm going, well, you know, the distrust of government is like a problem. And it was, and I, then I started thinking about United Nations and WHO coming out. The biggest threat to the global community is these, you know, vaccine hesitancy, whatever the hell that means, you know. And I'm going, this is, they're bringing it all out, man. There was something, there's some desperation thing going on here. There's some plan.
Let's just highlight what you just pointed out there. Vaccine hesitancy is the word they are trying to embed right now. They are trying to conflate anti-vax, which, of course, most people will think, well, against all vaccines at all times for everyone in all situations, just these crazy anti-vaxxers who are against all medical science. They're trying to conflate that position with vaccine hesitancy. So if you have any questions about the safety or efficacy of any vaccine at all that is being mandated or being put on a schedule by government, then you are vaccine hesitant and you are the problem that has to be eliminated. And they have held all sorts of, I mean, there's white papers, there's things being held by the Rockefeller Foundation about this. There was hearings that were held in Ontario last year about this that I saw. For example, Rosemary Frey, who I recently had on the program, she was presenting at that, basically making the point that, you know, this is a convenient thing for Big Pharma. If you portray literally any question about any of these vaccines as vaccine hesitancy and ban it, you are essentially giving the green light to Big Pharma to put out anything, and they will be indemnified from everything, which, of course, is the point. And this is the exact point that you would think, of course, thinking of the old, you know, left-right nonsense, you would think the people on the left used to have at least some concern about big corporate, you know, capitalists. It's the capitalists trying to kill you. So why are we trusting these big corporations and Big Pharma? Why do we give them the green light? Oh, science. Because science. And that has overridden, for a lot of the people on the phony left, that has overridden whatever kind of hesitancy they used to have about corporations.
You know, what I'm looking for here, I had it up. I thought I did. I can, you know, find, I got all these stories I wanted to talk about. But it was Fauci making a gazillion. He has a $9, you know, medicine row, whatever the hell it is. And he's going to charge, you know, thousands of dollars for treatment. He's going to make gazillions of dollars because these guys get to patent their own stuff, and they don't want, you know, malaria drugs that fix and everything. Hey, man, I got mine over here. Man, no, hell no. Man, I won't be a gazillionaire. And nobody challenges it. Why?
Yeah, of course. The interesting part about all of this is that even as lucrative as selling health, quote unquote, to the public has been over the past several decades through Big Pharma, which of course is not really selling health. It is actually in their business model interest to keep you sick, but dependent on their chemicals. But as lucrative as that has been, it is about to get orders of magnitude more lucrative as the new prevailing paradigm is you must be healthy at all times, and we will literally juridically oblige you, as Giorgio Agamben writes, oblige you to health. You will have to take whatever chemicals these people are putting out, and with the force of law. So that's going to basically put a underscore under the bottom line of these corporations. It is about to become an unimaginably lucrative field,
you know, I didn't see
like
I,
Bill Gates to be investing in.
It may have been one of your videos. I saw this, and it's the first time that I saw that Bill Gates was on a financial program to where they brought up the finances of vaccines. Oh, yeah, we invested $2 billion, but, man, we're making bank on the back end and proud of it. You know, I mean, this is what do you think? I just give $2 billion away without the expectation I'll get some. You know, no. I was
okay. So let me be the devil's advocate here against that clip, which I did include in the Gates documentary. So I will play the other side, and I will make what a Bill Gates supporter would say about that clip. He specifically is talking in regards to Becky Quick's question on CNBC about the return on investment for vaccines, which she says, "Well, it kind of stunned me when you came up with these numbers. Can you run through the math?" And he says, "You know, we see a phenomenal track record from investing in vaccines. It's been $100 billion overall that the world has put in. Our foundation is a bit more than $10 billion, but we feel there's been over a 20-to-1 return. So if you just look at the economic benefits, that's a pretty strong number compared to anything else." Now, the question is, what is he talking about with that return? Does he mean that the Gates Foundation has invested $10 billion and they've gotten $200 billion out of it? Or is he saying that no, the overall effect to the economy in keeping people healthier has been a 20-to-1 in terms of the investment that these governments are making? They get a 20-to-1
return. What do you think he meant?
In the sense that people are more able to go to work and be productive and all of that. That, I guarantee you, that is the way the Gates supporters will spin what he is saying.
Well, what do you think?
I think it's a bit of both, actually. I mean, I think I get why he's saying that. I don't agree with it, obviously, but I get he's probably thinking that he is saying that. But he is actually saying what the actual truth, which there really is a bottom line return on investment on this. But I don't think he is intending to say.
No, he's not. But what I got out of it was this, is that he is incentivizing entrepreneurs to get into the space and that there's money to be made. And the fact that he happens to be one of the guys making the money, well, that's just a side thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it was because I saw there was one thing in here I did write down. They were going, entrepreneurs, we must incentivize entrepreneurs to blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, wow, this is they're talking fascism and they don't even realize it, or they don't care. I mean, you know, of course we're going to have public-private partnership and all this other crap. You know, one thing I had up I wanted to talk about.
And let me interject while we're on that subject, because it's exceptionally important. That's why I included it in the documentary, not just about Gavi's specific goal being creating healthy markets for vaccines. That's what they say in black and white. That's why that's their goal.
They need a big special interest business.
But they got that from the Center for Global Development, which preceded Gavi in the early 2000s, they put out a report called Making Markets for Vaccines, in which basically their brilliant idea is we're going to convince governments to sign on the bottom line and say we commit to buying any vaccine that is made for such and such purpose, for such and such delivery of such and such program in such and such country before the vaccine is even developed. And that will incentivize the big pharma manufacturers to make vaccines for these poor brown people.
Well, even more, what was
win-win.
It? You know, recently we have Gates, we'll pay off your polio debt that you did with Japan. You're going to eradicate if you owe so many tens of millions of whatever, and then we'll give you incentive here and do this if you have complete 100% vaccination or 97.6 of whatever the hell the condition of. Oh, and you want to go to the grocery store? You want to get on the ski lift? You want to? There's going to be incentive. Where's your card? And we keep worrying about there's going to be an immigration thing. No, they're going to have a national ID of you got it. Where's your shot? You know, this is not. I don't think this is going to be fully swallowed by everybody. It's that kind of Lincoln thing. You can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but not everybody all the time.
But it's going to be swallowed by more people than you would expect.
I know.
Precisely because they have framed it in a way that everyone is, all the statists are on board with it. And you know, 99% of people, unfortunately, are statists because, well, yeah, we need national IDs and national borders.
As long
and
as I get my universal basic income.
and how are we going to prove that we're real Americans? We're going to carry the real ID card. And by the way, that's going to come with your vaccination, you know, history
right.
and
whether well,
or not.
One of the things that we had up there and I wanted to talk about was because of not going to the doctor, not having well baby visits and all that, because the mortality rate of all of these well baby visits, they go get their 15 gazillion shots all the time. And I mean, if you have, I got 12 grandkids, and I'm telling you, man, it's like, well baby visit, well baby visit, well baby visit, well baby, you know, whatever they call it, it's the opposite, man. I was like, hell no. And my daughters and daughters-in-law, they're just going, man, you have no idea the pressure they put on, you know, the kind of men you have to, or they screw it, they go to a naturopath or, you know, whatever the hell. So they're just pumping these kids with this stuff, and then all of a sudden they're not, and they don't die. You got a big giant drop in, and you're going, whoa, how are they going to manage that? I don't know. And then here in New Hampshire, there's a big thing for not, you know, keep the schools closed, keep the schools closed, which is the Freedom Community going, nah, all my children have finally, to one of them, decided not to put their kids back in government schools. They go, nah, we're good. I don't know what they think is going to happen. They're going to open up the schools again. Then in Arizona, we got the governor there, Ducey, comes out and goes, you know what? You can't go on the river anymore. We're closing down the bars again. And everything's closed until at least school maybe kind of start in September of what? What logic is there? Is somebody paying somebody something for something? All you got is 50 states, man. You got. And I tell you, when I saw this before, it was Janet Napolitano was governor in Arizona. Okay, she went on to be Department of Homeland Security, and how she became governor is like another thing. So she's governor of Arizona, and there was a guy that was corrupt from before, back in the day of whatever, that I knew the story of, that became the liaison from Arizona to the Department of Homeland Security. These were 50 guys that were in, you know, the administration, and, you know, we're 9/11 of, oh my God, and we need, and color coded of, and I had that guy on my show. Because he was all, because, you know, Sheriff Arpaio had a show on my station that I was on, and he was on Sheriff Arpaio's show, so he thought I was cool. I'm on the same station. Goes in the same studio. Libertarian. It didn't go as well as he thought. So they were arguing over their color coding thing, and they had a plan. All of a sudden, I'm going, why, what, you got red, whatever the hell happens in Miami, why you got to shut down Seattle? What possible connection do you have with that? Which is the same thing that's going on here. It's got to be a national thing. It's all BS. It's made up. It's just, and they cause all kinds of turmoil. Then you get pushbacks from the state. And that instance, with these color coding kind of stuff, I'm thinking that they learned the incentives. We got to have, and you got to pay for, and you got to get. And it's going to come down to the pensions. This whole thing is what I thought was going to happen. The economic collapse was going to center around the municipal and state pensions. Well, what are they doing? They're going to be paying them off. They're going to be subsidizing. They're going to something. I have no idea what, but I think that's what they're got, the carrot they're hanging in front of these governors and mayors and stuff.
Let me make just a quick note on what you're saying there. Yes, you make a very important point that the, as 9/11 and the terror state, all of that was the terror industrial complex, was all about nationalizing security and nationalizing the homeland. Quite specifically, and of course it had international implications and ramifications, but it was certainly about federalization of policing and all of that. This new 9/11, whatever, is going to be the internationalization of that. It is explicitly an international threat to international security, and how are we going to deal with that? Only at an international level. And the first order of effects that we're seeing from that is, for example, Europe won't be opening their borders to America because America hasn't handled this in the right way. And you better believe, until everyone's vaccinated and they have their vaccine ID cards and blah, 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 and they can prove they're good citizens, they won't be allowed to travel to Europe or anywhere else. And every country is going to be doing that, and is already doing that, in fact. Japan is now starting to allow businessmen to fly between Japan and Vietnam, but, you know, you have to quarantine and you have to follow certain rules when you're there and all of this stuff, so... This is so much about what this is about. The other part about the economic ramifications and financial ramifications, of course, again, exceptionally important, because this is a gigantic economic swindle at the same time.
You know, one of the things that was a big issue in, I think it was like 2005, 6, we had one of our Freedom Summits, and it was a big debate on immigration. This is before, you know, Trump and everything, you know, whatever. And it was all centered around ID. And some people are like, yeah, America, I'm proud to show my American flag colored passport, whatever the hell, ID of something, right? And of course, you know, that means, well, then it's papers, please. And, you know, when do they get to look? Is it, you know, you got to pat, at least it's going out or coming in kind of deal. But once you're home base, you know, I'm home and freaking I'm home, get the hell out of my face. Well, we have to deal with checkpoints in Arizona a lot. You know, you anywhere near the border, you got all this kind of crap going on. Well, of course, where am I being detained? Am I being detained? Am I free to go? And I'm just, I always ask, are you a U.S. citizen? I was born in a hospital in Florida. What? I was born in a hospital. That sounds like a legal question. I don't remember. I was, you know, whatever the hell. That, yeah, go, whatever. I'm a middle-aged white guy. They don't care, you know. But you could see it constricting. You press this stuff to find out where the edge is. You know, you opt out all the time on your TSA stuff. You get your, you know, whatever the hell. It's getting to where they can see and they know who the resistors are and how they're doing everything. And it's going to come to a point that they don't give a crap. And the proper role of government defending rights, don't care, not on our agenda. We're going to do whatever the hell we want. Well, there's a blowback to that. And do you think that they, them, those, and the governments and different levels of, are they needing that? Are they prepared for that? Do they expect that? Is that part of their formulation of what's going on? What do you think?
Oh, there's no way that they would be surprised by kickback to what's going on. I think the surprising thing is how little we have seen so far, but yeah. Perhaps that's part of their calculations as well. But absolutely. In fact, I recently turned this on a interview that I did, essentially the Corona Constitution is being written. It is exposing once again that there is no, I mean, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, whatever the particular piece of paper in your particular locale is called, it means absolutely nothing. It is a piece of paper that the authorities will choose to abide by or choose not to abide by as they see fit. Like the governor of New Jersey saying to Tucker Carlson, yeah, I don't know what the constitutional basis for me not allowing certain people to go to work is. That's above my pay grade. You know, who cares? And maybe a few years from now, maybe some court will say, well, you know, you shouldn't have done that. But what does that matter? Those businesses are already out of business. You know, done deal. That is the way this works. And this is the new Corona Constitution that's being written, which is whatever we say in the name of health security at any time. And that I should drill into the minds of anyone with lingering ideas that statism is the answer to all of this. That is not the answer. But as you're saying, they already know who is opting out. Literally and metaphorically.
Did you ever come across in your research a thing called the Constitution for the New States of America? It was a Ford Foundation and Rockefeller thing back in the late 70s, and they did it. When you read this Constitution, you know, you should, you know, do a search on it right now. Just put new Constitution, yeah. A Constitution for the New States of America, and the Bill of Rights was replaced with, you know, this Bill of Privileges kind of thing. And it was, you know, you have the right to free speech when and if, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was a thing. You know, I'm kind of surprised. We'll get it. You know, I'll get
Please
it to you.
Please forward it, yeah.
And it was something in the early 90s that as a young libertarian, we're going to always, you know, want you to look up this stuff and you need it. And I'm going, holy crap. This is like their event 201 kind of crap and what we have to do in the New States of America thing. So, yeah, it's called the New States. All right, audience, we're going to do it because, damn it, we need to do this. You know, we'll pull it up. And I where do I got to go? I got to go to Google, you know. I hate going to Google, but, you know, I think I know that they will have it. And then, I got the wrong keyboard. All right. So it's a new the Constitution for the New States of America. I'm pretty sure that's it. Constitution for the New States of America. Boom. All right, let's see what we get. New States of America Constitution. Boom shakalaka. Here we go. Proposed Constitution for the New States of America. Constitution proposed, blah, 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 blah. All right, so let's see if this is the one I'm thinking about. I'm thinking this is it. Okay, some scary parts of the proposed. I think if you click into it, you go to the you know, whoever it is. And at the bottom, it had when they were doing it and who was doing it. But anyway, so it's a new constitution. You read the Bill of Rights, and it's kind of like freedom of expression, of communication, of movement, assembly, or a petition shall not be abridged except in declared emergency. You know, it's that kind of crap, you know. So this right here, when you do the research on it, it was, let's see, a constitution for the new states, yada, 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 yada. Aspen Institute Chairman Robert O. Anderson, Chief Executive Officer, you know, whatever the hell. So anyway, this was, I don't know if that's, they just put this up there or who was
doing it. I've got a 1970 New York Times article, Study Center Offers New U.S. Constitution, on the theory that one way to stimulate thinking about the shortcomings of the present U.S. government is to conceive a plan for a better one. The Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions has suggested a new constitution for the United
States. Fund for the Republic, which is a Ford Foundation thing. Ford Foundation, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, just the story behind this. This is what I, as a young activist, was exposed to. This is, you know, the plan of. So when they go, well, it's a secret handshake if they got in the time going, well, of course they do. You know, they'd never stop. When haven't they? You know, it's us. It's not them. Of course they're going to do it. They're doing it right in front of us. This has been going on forever. You know, this is the kind of stuff I was all, you know, James Corbett and on, you know, back in the early 90s. So I'm just going, you know, that's why I don't, I'm like, oh my God. But now it's manifesting right in front of us now. It's, you know, this was, you know, this event 201 was, you know, a bunch of this crap. You know, and all the stuff that you go on
Wait,
about.
Wait, can you go back to that screen for 1 second? Read Article 1. Just read it out loud for the audience.
Okay, let's do Article 1.
The
preamble?
No, Section 1, sorry, Article 1, Section 1.
No, I did. Freedom of expression, of communication, of movement, of assembly, or a petition shall not be addressed except in declared emergency.
Except in declared
emergency. Yeah, no, I mean, it was all like that. I didn't have to go to another one.
This is exactly the kind of, yeah.
You know, it's
anyone who doesn't see the entire game that is being played in a statement like that just doesn't understand anything.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I remember this. I'm shocked it's still up on the freaking internet, you know? But, yeah. I mean, now it's never going to go away. But, so this is the kind of stuff that, you know, I was exposed to as a young activist. This was the conspiracy of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign whatever the hell and Brzezinski and Rockefeller and Rothschild. I mean, all this stuff and the Federal Reserve and everything, you know, but now it's common knowledge. And I think they know it's common knowledge, and they don't care. They're just going, yeah, what are you going to do about it? We own CNN, you know? So I'm just, so that's my question to you. With this, you know, I get it. Stay them those. They're going to, because they can. So I'm going, when is it that they can't? What can't they do? And that's why I'm afraid they're injecting us with notions and potions from the crown, and they're genetically changing us. They're changing our personality, our propensities for whatever the hell, our even physical ability to resist, you know, whatever pathogen. I mean, this is big, bad, oh my God stuff. So what do you think is going to stop them?
Well, certainly not a piece of paper. I can tell you that much.
Not a piece of paper.
I'm not looking for some sort of constitutional answer to the.
Not a piece of paper. Thank you. That's all I need to know. Not a piece of paper.
Yeah. But let me. So, on that notion that you just said about injections and other things, let me read the quote from The Impact of Science and Society, Bertrand Russell. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so.
Okay, now where did this come from?
The better part of a century ago.
From where?
The Impact of Science on Society by Bertrand Russell.
Wow. Yeah, wasn't Bertrand Russell a big eugenics guy?
I will not go out on that limb because I don't have that research in front of me. His defenders will say he was warning about what was coming. I have perhaps.
Well, no. It was.
That, I haven't looked into Russell enough to talk about him at length.
Or maybe it was Bernard Shaw or
Yeah, George Bernard Shaw is the one. And interestingly, Bernard Shaw was an avowed, professed eugenicist many occasions, definitely, and a Fabian socialist and all of it. But interestingly enough, I do get, I have gotten a few emails from people, for me, including him in the Gates documentary, saying, oh, you know, he was kind of a joker. He wasn't really seriously talking about killing people. No, I don't think people know. Shaw, not just once or twice, but on many occasions, really.
He certainly got it into the discourse. He definitely wanted that subject brought up, just like Bill Gates does for death panels. You know, yeah, there is. Exactly. See, I can understand. You know, it's you know, my inheritance went away with my father's illness. You know, I get it. You know, I'm, you know, I go, hey, Dad, you're looking kind of peaking here. I got a, you know, I got a 12 gauge. You know, I'm just, you know, I see freedom as the answer to all of these things. If you weren't subsidized, if it wasn't this and that, and people prepared for themselves, they made themselves healthier, they ate better, they exercised, they blah, 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 blah. You know, quit subsidizing sloth. Quit subsidizing sitting on your ass. Quit subsidizing everything.
This is always the point that it goes back to. Yeah, there is some underlying idea of something that does need to be discussed in the death panel discussion and all of that. But the underlying part of it that is never addressed is, okay, so who, wait, what's this panel? Who appointed them?
Exactly.
Who gives them authority over me and my family? We make the choices for our family. Who is this panel that sits over top of us and decides who lives and dies? Who appoints them? How do they get their authority? Oh, don't look into any of that. No, we're just going to, the state will decide and we'll appoint these panels.
You know what's so bad about it? Is that as a family, you know, it's like, all right, we all pool together and what can we do to help and how much of my 401k of silver I'm going to, for mom, dad, we all kind of, whatever. I mean, which we have done. You know, this is kind of stuff that, you know, we make these decisions. But to prevent me from doing that, and what's really insidious also, you don't even know what the price tag is. They don't know. You ask the doctor. They have no freaking idea. The price tag? What's that? That was another story out on Freeman's Phoenix today. All these hospitals, because of COVID, that are going out of business. Bullshit! These guys are making bank on this thing. I don't know which one's not. You know, they must be doing it wrong or something. But there are New York hospitals, man, you're going on a ventilator, and you ain't coming off. So this is, there's somebody's having to stay after school on this stuff. I am not satisfied that, but where have we seen this before? Nobody got in trouble for 9/11. Nobody got in trouble for the Big Short or the TARP or, you know, the economic whatever. Nobody's going to get in trouble for this one. Nobody gets in trouble. There's no accountability. You can, cops can kill and maim at whatever. Thugs come into your cul-de-sac and, you know, rape and pillage and burn and whatever the hell, and then you're the bad guy if you got a gun. I mean, there is some kind of something coming, and I think there's some kind of something pushing back. And they're setting the stage for something, and I don't know who the hell else to ask other than James Corbett. What the hell are they setting the stage for, man? What the hell?
I wish I had the answer.
You lose. Go make another Corbett report.
Well, look, I mean, we all see the writing on the wall. We all know which direction this is trending. We all know that this is not the direction we want to be going in. Unless, of course, we manage to steer this in a completely different direction. And that's not going to happen by everyone shutting up and complying and wearing their masks and rolling up their sleeves when they're told to. It is going to require the only thing that will ever, 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 ever stop the tyrants, which is noncompliance. And let me demonstrate that once again by recourse to the 500-year-old wisdom of Etienne de la Boetie, The Politics of Obedience. Anyone who hasn't read this book, it is not a big book. It looks like a big book. It's actually just big print. You can read this in one sitting if you try. And you should, because it makes the point very forcefully. Tyrants are only tyrants because we go along with it. And I agree that that might be changing. That calculus may be changing certainly in the coming generation or two, because of the technology that's coming online to automate the tyranny. And to genetically engineer us, and to put the whatever in our food and water and everything else to completely eliminate the human spirit. But as long as the human spirit exists and there is a human factor, then we are complicit if we go along with these plans. The only thing that is incumbent on us and the only thing that will make a difference is non-compliance. Do not go along with these plans. That cannot be, that is the most important thing to stress and underline at every point. The choice is still yours. And yes, there will be consequences for those choices, and they're going to get worse and worse, but the choice is still yours.
What do you think in that time when Etienne was writing that compulsory government education was a thing? I mean, you know, is it a time to where they didn't have the next generation in their control? And what about now? And the fact that they did this school closing thing, I of all the things that have happened, I think that was probably the most glimmer of hope that I got out of this entire freaking thing. I go, oh, you left the kids with their parents that love them and find out what you did to them? And they go, yeah. God, you're dumb crap, man. What the hell are they doing? You ain't going back. You know, I don't think they saw that one coming.
Yeah, I think the plan is exactly what we saw play out in, for example, New York, where Cuomo appoints Bill Gates to head this new panel or whatever it is to reimagine schooling in the, you know, post-COVID era. So now they're going to, obviously, it's all going to be, oh, well, now we'll just get them directly wired into the machines and they'll have machine teachers and it'll, you know, all be online. That's their dream. I don't think it was necessarily part of the plan that families would rediscover, hey, wait, it's actually good to spend time with my family and to be with my children. And wow, look at this. You know, this is a new idea. So, yeah, I think there are some definite pressure points here if people apply them. But one thing I want to discourage people from doing is to look online for signs of resistance, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be Twittered. The revolution will not be YouTube. The revolution is happening in the streets, in reality, with real people, and there are a lot of people who are not going along with this, but you will not see that reflected in the social media, the controlled social media platforms. They will not allow it. Do not look for that for validation. Look for reality and find community in physical meat space.
You know,
that's
that
the last vestige of reality.
Is what I want to encourage you with, as here in New Hampshire, the community. That's what I'm looking for. That 100 to 200, that 120 kind of, you know, groups, you know, little groups around that got it going on. And we found them, many of them that come from all over the world here to the festivals. And I'm just like, and then 4th of July, we're going to have a big fireworks show here and everything too. I'm not worried about some people. I'm not worried about some groups. I'm not worried about a lot of my friends. I'm not as even worried about my family, except, you know, they're wanting the big job of whatever. But we'll survive, thrive, and we'll do okay because we're of the right mindset. We understand that we can starve them out of their existence by ignoring them probably most of the time. But, you know, the thing is that there's so many people. There's a great calling coming, and they're going to be roadkill. This is not going to go well for a lot of people, especially those that think that government is going to protect them, supply them, nurture them. They're not. You are roadkill. You are cannon fodder. You are there for their agenda, whatever, and you will be quickly discarded. I don't know what the hell you think you're going to get, or short-term or long-term thing. And this has happened to all Marxist revolutions. You know, I don't know what the hell they're thinking is going to happen. So my thing is, I don't have to beat them. We just have to outlast them. And the love bus going around, I'm looking for these people around the country. And we go back, we're here in New England, then we're going back west in the middle of July, we're flying out there for some events, then we're coming back, then we're traveling across the northern United States after some other things that we're doing up here, looking for these groups. So contact us. You know, you go to, you know, Love Bus Liberty Tour is freaking, you know, we're setting up all the social media. Finally, I got that taken care of. My daughter, it used to be my producer for 2.5 years. She's come back as I'm paying her, but she's like, hell no, I ain't doing the, you know, that's like make you old. She has a full-time job at Honeywell Aerospace, and she's doing this with 2 children for the cause. Because I can see that people are now understanding how serious this is for the generation next. And there's always a generation next. And they will be seeing James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, videos and your commentary, I guarantee it because I will make sure. Damn it. James, thanks for coming on. I do feel somewhat better, but I don't know why. You know, I mean, it's
yeah. so... Well, look, yeah, let's not sugarcoat it. It's going to get dark, but there is always the light and the possibility.
Yeah, so it's no. It's freaking Neo, no. It's just no. And then we'll see why, just no. Because the hologram is what they're putting up for you. It's not real. If you walk through it and you go, wow, that wasn't even really there. They don't have the power that they want you to believe they do. But we have the power of no. Peace, guys. Thanks a lot, James. You're the man. Hold on a second.
Oh, crap. I got to get the right button here. Oh, yeah. I got skills. I got a thing here. Boom, boom. There it is.
Crap, man. I got to remember all the shit I got to do. This is... next week, I'm going to be traveling a lot, but I don't want to let too much time go. We'll stay in touch with you. We'll see if we can. Is this time, you know, of the week, a Wednesday, is that best for you, you think?
Generally so, but not next week. I'm taking next week off.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that'll work for us because I got a bunch of stuff to do, but I don't want to go sure. too long because, God dang it, yeah, man, but, this is fast.
Generally, Wednesday at this time is okay.
What is your next project you're working on?
Big or small? I don't know. Next podcast is probably going to be about vaccines, mandatory vaccines, and the new laws and everything.
Yeah, that's where we're focused on, this mandatory thing. And it even in the Liberty community, there's like a split of, well, you gotta mandate.
Yeah,
you're for mandates. Mm-hmm. You know, where's this mandate thing come in your philosophy of mandate? So that's yeah. kind of the focus that we're working on, too. Hey, yeah. I'm going to miss you, man, because this stuff is going by. I think of you a lot and watch your stuff, and I'm glad, you know, once you did the Gates thing, you knew you were going to be on the tour, man. You've been doing a lot of the tour.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks, brother.
All right, thank you. Take care.